Le matin, mon cadran est à CKUT.
Make sure my levels are at around 8.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's kind of a tongue twister.
Am I popping my peas?
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Start again.
Oh, should I do that? Okay.
I need a script.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
So you want me to go through it again and actually say that?
This sounds so repetitive.
See, now I can't do it. Once more, okay.
CKUT 90.3 FM.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait, do you want me to say hello?
I'll have to do another one.
Yeah, maybe one last one.
Radio CKUT 90.3 FM.
Are you recording? You are? Oh. Can you press stop?
Good afternoon, I'm Joy from South Capua. You're listening to Radio Capua on CKUT 90.3 FM. For all Filipinos are Filipino enough.
Hello, bonjour, mabuhay. You are listening to Radio Capua on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Desiree Ruiz. I'm joined here with my co-host France and Vero and our new sound engineer, Fenny, who is supporting Laura and Justin. We miss you both and are thinking about you. So excited to have today with us Thresha Joy, who also goes by Joy. And we're so excited to have you on. Welcome, Joy. And I'll let you introduce yourselves to our listeners.
Yes. So, yes, happy to be here at Radio Capua. So my name is Joy. I go by different nicknames, actually. So some people actually know me as Joy, Trisha, Trish, TJ, or Tricia en français. So I know I have a lot of names, but I prefer them all equally. So I respond to all of them, quite honestly. Otherwise, in terms of just like introducing myself, so I was an entrepreneurial artist before, turned into like a 9-to-5 corporate girly afterwards in the field of like HR technology and in the video game technology space, and also doing DEIB work as well in terms of just programs and such. But I do consider myself to be a forever like creative artist too, as I do a lot of other things outside of work when it comes to just creativity, being with my friends and being social too. And then also just like making sure in terms of just like getting to know my community and growing the community as well too. So yes, happy to be here actually.
Love it. Kamusta everyone? Fran Stoner here. Always happy to be chatting with you all. Always happy to be welcoming new guests. We're doing wonderful things in our community. And I guess I just want to share a little bit of backstory of like how Joy kind of came into the group, because it was really so serendipitous. And sometimes, you know, I do get overwhelmed with all this work that we're doing at Sound Capua, at Radio Capua. So essentially, Joy and I are just folks who are kind of like, I don't even remember how we started following each other, but we were just following each other and like commenting on stuff and like read similar books, you know. So there's a really important book when you're Filipinx and you kind of want to think a little bit more about what decolonization means for you. There's a really important book by EGR David, who is a professor of psychology at the University of Alaska, who wrote a book called Brown Skin, White Minds. And it's just really about post-colonial Filipino-American psychology. And it very much relates to just how we think in the diaspora and how colonialism has affected our minds. So yeah, like Joy had posted about it and we've like messaged back and forth. And then one day it was kind of just like this thing where we were like, let's have a virtual coffee date. You know, clearly there's something aligned here and let's just have a virtual coffee date. Funny thing is, maybe a day or two before we actually had this coffee date scheduled, you were really overwhelmed at Sound Capua. It's just, we're very, very blessed that things are going well. But the reality is, and I just want to be transparent with everybody, that growth management is a thing, right? Like our people need Sound Capua, and you can see that they need it because the demand is there. But on the operational side, managing the growth is a lot. So I was kind of getting a little bit stressed because we have a lot of people to manage and navigate, and events and projects to navigate. So I get on this coffee date that's supposed to be super casual and just getting to know each other with Joy. And I start venting about how I'm a little bit overwhelmed, you know, because she was like, you're doing such great things at Sans Capua. So I start venting. And then what does she tell me? She tells me that she works in HR. She's in talent kind of recruitment and management. She knows how to organize folks. So yeah, how is that conversation for you, Joy? Let's talk about that. And maybe a little bit about how, like, what attracted you to coming into this community work, right?
I just want to jump in, sorry, because you forgot a beautiful piece of the puzzle. Alan, who is part of the Cock Collective, has, you know, creates these beautiful pieces, and everyone's like, you need to sell them, you need to sell them. And he's like, I don't want to sell them. I just want them to be worn by community. And he is so adamant about creating these pieces for community. And we've all been wearing his pieces. And then Joelle, someone from the community, got the piece and passed it on to Joy, who never met Alan. And then Joy wore the piece, and I think she took a picture. And then I think, France, you saw the picture, and then Alan saw the picture. And then it was, again, connected through art by Alan, by the community, guided by the ancestors. So just also adding that piece of the puzzle.
Very important piece.
Yes.
Thank you, Des.
Yes, that was actually really magical with how that happened too. So I'm actually going to start with, I guess, like previously, I guess, like me doing like the groundwork and getting to know myself, like in terms of just like part of my identity as a Filipino. So yes, actually, I was in kind of like my journey of getting to understand, go through kind of like question things too, as like part of like the Filipino community. And this was like about like 5 years back. And so I was kind of like still questioning myself, still trying to reach out, wanting community at the same time, but not knowing where exactly to go towards to. And so for me, it was kind of like, oh, like I'll go through this like journey, trying to understand myself, but at the same time reaching. I think there's something where it's an internal work, but it's also an external work for me to sort of like go forward and meet the like the people that align with me in terms of just values too. So that was something where I was like, okay, like, you know, let me just like put myself out there. Let me put out, like, even on social media, I think it's also something magical where once you start putting out like your values out there, like the right people end up like following you for that. And so that's kind of what happened on social media, where, you know, I'm putting out like just kind of like facts here and there, like of like the Philippines and like the culture itself too, as a way for me to sort of like research, understand, and as well just like search for like the collective and the community out there. And so that's kind of like what happened with that Joelle too. So since she knew that I was already in that journey, and I verbalized that like pretty much on social media. So My friends know that I'm like very into like the community. And so like, it's beautiful to see that she reached out to me knowing that I verbalized that. She knows that I'm in that journey, and she passed me that necklace afterwards. But I was like, I feel so blessed to have, like, for some reason, like this necklace just feels so powerful when I received it. So it was like, yeah, it was Alan that had the necklace. She showed me his page. I was like, okay, let me just follow like Alan. And then I think like France, like we've already like, I don't know how we connected, but we've connected like before that too, but we've only just liked each other's pictures or whatnot, or just like hyped each other up. But it was like with that necklace that you're like, hey, like this girl is like part of, like, she's doing some sort of work. Let's like meet up. So I was very blessed. So I just felt it was like such a magical thing, because I was at a point where I was looking also for community, and I just didn't know exactly where to look and how to be a part of that too. So it was kind of something that actually I was manifesting that for quite a few like years too. So it's like, it was something that just like fell on my lap, and I was like, okay, let me just go for it. Let me just like see what this is about, and get to know other people too, because that was also one of my goals, is to just also like branch out from like my own circle. And I think it's important for me as well, in terms of just my values, branching out, being open to other cultures, in terms of just like communities as well, and understanding other people who are in different communities too. So it was important for me to get to know my people, but in like a different like way also.
Wow. I'm like, wait, Joy, when you're talking about your journey, it reverted me back to how I'm like, somehow I met France. So it was like, it's just something clicked, you know? And it's just like, okay, let me, like, she claims to be advocating for the community. It just clicked. Then you just, like, I would say, like, magaan sa loob, like, your loob was just, it just feels like you can talk and there's no judgment whatsoever. And that necklace, though, because if Alan is hearing this right now, he'd be like, that's literally like what I wanted, right? Like the energy, because I passed on the necklace to another kapwa, and then I'm like, yeah, I feel the energy of the kapwas who like wore it before me and before, and, you know, now you'll be wearing it. So it's like super nice, that magical that you were talking about, of just feeling connected. And then you mentioned, I'm not sure exactly, but were you born here in Montreal?
Oh yeah. So I was born, I'm a Canadian Montreal too. So like in terms of just my experience as well as like a Filipino, I've always like, in terms of just like the question too of like feeling Filipino enough also. So actually I never questioned myself when it comes to being a Filipino growing up. I've always been kind of like self-assured that I was like Filipino, but I think it's just like these tidbits of like, I guess I'll say like mosquito bites, like throughout like the years where it's not a question of like feeling Filipino enough. I think it's more of like a disconnect with me and getting to know like the community too. So actually a funny story is that like the moment that I realized that I was like kind of like disconnected, because I think throughout like my teenage years, it was kind of like a blur and I never really questioned myself until like one of my good friend, bless her soul, but she was like, how come you don't speak your like your own language? Like, shouldn't you get to know your own community and language? I was like, I was baffled. I was baffled. But then again, I was just like, yeah, why am I not connecting myself with like my Filipino community? Why am I not understanding and all that stuff too? So even though it was kind of like, she came out like kind of rude out of the left, it was like, okay, like I see what you mean. And that kind of like, I was like, oh, like that's stuck in my head. And then that's how I realized that I was like, okay, maybe I am like a little subconsciously a little bit later afterwards. So that like it didn't really like stuck then, but I remember like it was in my head. I was like, why do I not connect myself with like the community, and how come I don't like look further into just like understanding the culture too? And so like that was kind of just kind of like that pivotal moment where she just questioned me, and I was like, okay, like, all right, that you have a point, and let me just like go through this journey. And then I credit her for that, but it was just one of those things. It was like a pivotal moment in like my early 20s where she was like, how come you don't like get to know your own culture? And I was like,
it always starts with the language, right? And we live here in Montreal, so like the language is already like kind of iffy, like a subject that is, you kind of tippy toes around. But as an immigrant, like, okay, mais on peut parler en français, and then we can speak in English, and there's no, like, we just switch back and forth. So it was never a problem for us as an immigrant. And one thing that we have neglected is speaking our own language. And I would actually say languages. So people were saying like, yeah, I was made to feel like I wasn't Filipino enough because I don't speak Tagalog. And I'd always reiterate back at the fact that, well, no, your parents, both of your parents are Ilocano. You won't be speaking Tagalog. You will be speaking Ilocano, right? And I think that we're doing a disservice to our community when we just minimize our Filipinos to speaking just one language, when in reality we speak so many language. And yes, Desiree, like, yes, you will be speaking Bisaya. Like, it makes sense that you don't know Tagalog, but if your parents do not have any connection with the Tagalogs, right? So that's like, that's a response that I now tell everyone else. I'm like, you're doing a disservice by just limiting ourselves to, you know, speaking only one language. That is absolutely not true. But I just, this is something that keeps on like coming up with like making you feel like you're not Filipino enough. There's so many languages, you know, and why? Well, we needed to survive. So that's why we need to learn French and English first.
Yeah, I was going to add that as a second generation Filipina, you know, also born here, that doesn't speak the language. I just wanted to affirm all of those feelings that you felt. I felt that too, right? And like the word that stuck out, that you said that stuck out, that I really, really resonate with, and I'm sure so many other second generation folks feel as well, is the disconnect. right? Because it's so freaking confusing. And I'm just going to share something that Fran shared with me, because I had a conversation with my mother, because I said, why don't I speak the language, or what happened? And she was like, I tried, but you didn't want to. Right. So think, our parents are here in survival mode. They did go to school, but we moved to the suburbs, and then to drive us into town, I didn't feel like going. She's freaking tired. My parents are tired, you know, and then, you know, so as a mother now, you pick your freaking battles with your kids. And that was a battle that she was like, I don't have energy for that. So she cut it out. They spoke Bisaya at home, and I just wanted to be like everybody else in school. Right. Mm-hmm. I wanted to speak English and French, and I was like, so again, this disconnect. So just affirming all of those feels, and it is confusing, you know, and I'm going to pass it on to Fenny for the closing question. Yeah.
You know what, actually, since we are on the topic of all languages, like, you know, like with the French language too, I just want to bring up the first time me and Joy met was at Kappa Walk in Chinatown. Right. And the host for the guided tour, Andre, he was speaking French. And, you know, because I just moved here. Right. So I don't really know French. I've been trying to learn. But when Joy found out that I couldn't understand, she just right away started translating everything for me. Yeah. And from there, I was like, you know, I thought Joy was awesome for that. And because it also kind of like reflected her character as part of like, you know, like just helping others out, like being part of community. So I just wanted to bring it, circle it back to that as, you know, like, what does Kapwa mean to you?
Yes. So actually, I was like thinking about this. I was like, the question about like also just what does it feel like to like, or not, how do you not feel like Filipino enough? And also just like, what does it mean to be Kapwa? And I've been like thinking about it too. It's funny because I actually got like a Kapwa tattoo. Like this was like actually one of my first Kapwa tattoos. And this was actually on my journey of like understanding of like what exactly is Kapwa. And I think it's at the base of everything. Like we have like similar, there's always like something similar. So for me, it's like interconnectedness and understanding that we all have something similar with each other. And it's like kind of finding that as well and going through that journey of like what connects us together. So for me personally, that was something that that resonated with me back then and even now too. And that's why I have this tattooed on my arm just as a reminder, knowing that like everybody I meet with, there's something that we have something similar, like as a person or as a human being too. So for me, it's always something that I'm like, okay, I need to constantly think about just like being in like Kapwa and just thinking about it, thinking about community, being connected with people too. And I think that's something for me very important as part of my values too.
Yeah, I feel that. You know what? You know, like whenever there's like a conflict with somebody or like, you know, just basic disagreement, I find that the best way to kind of like resolve things is just to find out what the common ground is between, you know, like you and that person. So I'm definitely feel that.
You just conjured us up, you powerful, beautiful Babaylan. That's what you did. You cast all these powerful pre-colonial witchy spells and you attracted us, and I love it.
I had like, I love it. I was just like, I had my agenda, like, I don't know, manifesting. I was just like praying or just like asking like up in the air. I just like believed enough until I know that if I meet the right like people, then like, you know, obviously like I'll be there. So yeah, that was just something that I was like, okay, like I need to like find. And that was like, again, like something that I was like wanting, I wanted to do the internal work, but I also externally, I needed to go find it as well.
Mm-hmm. I have a really quick question, but like, what would you tell an older version of yourself, somebody that's kind of the older version of yourself that's like starting this journey and saying like, oh, I want community, I'm feeling something, but like this, you know, like that, these feelings that you had of like yearning for connecting to, you know, something that you couldn't necessarily articulate then, what would you tell that person that is beginning this journey?
You mean younger self?
Younger self, yeah.
Okay.
Good question. Like, but I guess like you're also saying like an older version of myself. So the older version of myself would be a little bit more on like the close-minded. So I would say keep an open mind. I guess also just like, I don't know, just be like more of like I would tell my like older version or like younger self that it's okay to have these sort of feelings and to also just like be patient and kind with yourself. Like you may not understand everything now, But by doing like your inner work, by researching, by talking to people, like talking to diverse people, eventually you'll find some answers and some questions, like still some questions, like you still go through a lot. I still go through a lot of questions. And even now I'm still going through my journey of understanding and just like kind of like who I am as like part of my identity as like a Filipino Canadian too. So yeah, definitely just kind of like be kinder, patient with yourself in understanding who you are and parts of your identity, because like I think we're an ever evolving like human beings too. So yeah, I think that's what I would tell myself, like if I was younger, to just like be patient with yourself and open-minded.
Beautiful. So for those who's still listening to us and who was captivated, I can just assume that like we all had that moments of our lives where we're like, I don't want to be part of the Filipino community because there's X, Y, Z reason. So many people are nodding with me. But TJ is, you know, a good example of how believe in yourself, believe in the ancestral guide, and the ancestors will like guide us back to our community, back to our kapwa. So for those who's still listening to us, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. You just listened to Joy, and we're really, really happy. So this is Veronica speaking. Mabuhay. Oh,
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Marvin Reyes. I am a youth leader and community organizer here bringing you important news back home in the Philippines. The article is from Al Jazeera with the title, Rhetoric Escalates in China-Philippines-South China Sea Dispute. Chinese state media has warned the Philippines against causing trouble and chaos in the South China Sea as tensions arise, continue to boil over the disputed waters. State-controlled newspaper, the Philippine Daily, issued the call in a commentary published on Monday, saying the Philippines has reportedly infringed on China's territory in the region and risked making a severe miscalculation. The commentary singled out Philippine activities near Second Thomas Shoal, a resource-rich waterway that Manila occupies, but China claims as its own territory. China's People's Daily blamed the United States for encouraging the Philippines' provocative actions in the area, which it says irresponsibly escalate regional tensions. The Philippines relies on the support of external forces, ignores China's goodwill, and restrains and repeatedly provokes China's principles and bottom line, said the editorial. Written under the pen name Zhang Sheng, or Voice of China, the column is often used to offer hardline views on foreign policy matters. This behavior is extremely dangerous and has seriously harmed regional peace, stability, prosperity, and development, the piece reads. The pointed remarks come amid months of tensions as Beijing and Manila have traded accusations over a spate of run-ins in the sea. In the latest incident on December 10, the Philippines accused China of roaming a supply boat that was carrying Manila's chief of staff near Second Thomas Shoal. The China Coast Guard, however, said the Philippine boat had deliberately collided with a Chinese vessel after disregarding our multiple stern warnings. Beijing claimed Second Thomas Shoal and almost the entire South China Sea on the basis of the nine-dash line, the U-shaped marking featured on a new version of its national map earlier this year. The map caused upset among Southeast Asian countries, including Malaysia, the Philippines, and Vietnam, as it stakes Chinese claims to the waters lying close to their coast. An international tribunal ruled as far back as 2016 that the map provided no legal basis for China's claim, but Beijing has ignored the decision and continues to insist on the line's legitimacy. In an unusually direct warning, Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi said last any miscalculation in a dispute with the Philippines would bring a resolute response from China and called on Manila an action with caution. The soaring of bilateral ties coincide with Manila bolstering military relations with Japan and the United States, its former colonial power defense ally of seven decades. China expressed danger at the United States this month for sending a Navy ship into waters near the contested area. The article was written and published on December 26, 2023. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is Jermaine Reyes delivering you Philippine news from abroad.
To tell you how I feel. every corner in me. That's your precious the grown. Maybe I let you in by saying how I feel, but I didn't mean it before. All you to the bone, all you to take me home. I'm falling, love me, Lord, I'm rolling, losing control, boy.
pilit nating iniwasan ganitong mga tanungan. At kahit di sigurado, tinuloy natin ang ating ugnayan. Ngayon'y naubos ng kwentuhan, nagsimula ng magsisihan. Lahat ay parang lumabo, di alam kung saan tutungo. Sabi ko na nga ba, dapat nung una pa lamang. Di na umasa, di na niwala. Hindi tayo pwede inagtagpo, pero di tinatana. Hindi na posible ang mga puso'y
it was time to tell you how I feel. So I made a move, I took your hand. My heart was beating loud like I've never felt before. You smiling at me like you wanted more. I think you're the one I've never seen before. I want you to know '73. I was so jealous seeing you with him. Oh, baby, I know that I can treat you better back in those nights. Oh, you wouldn't cry from his stupid lies. Oh, baby, I was still watching, wishing you to be mine. Oh, gown, I was crying all my tears. I told myself that you are the one.
Tan pa. Magandang hapon! Laura here. Thank you for tuning in to Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM. Merci d'être à l'écoute de Radio Kapwa sur CKUT 90.3 FM. It was another Sari Sari playlist today, as Riz has been dealing with personal medical issues for some time and won't be in the capacity to select sounds for us while he's away. For now, I hope you guys enjoyed the music, and as always, you may find all the playlists for all the music ever played on ckut.ca/playlists/ry. Je vais commencer à inclure du français dans les scripts, mais comme vous le saviez, ce n'est pas notre langue maternelle. Une partie de la conversation aujourd'hui pendant l'interview était que TJ s'est senti détaché de la culture philippino et qu'elle se sentait moins philippino parce qu'elle ne parle pas la langue philippine Tagalog. Ferro a exprimé tout de suite qu'il n'y a pas une seule langue philippino et que notre communauté philippine aurait parlé une des 100 dialectes des Philippines, mais qu'en immigrant ici au Canada français, au lieu d'apprendre les langues maternelles de nos parents, on a dû prioriser le français pour la vie au Québec et l'anglais pour communiquer avec nos familles. Comme TJ, je suis née à Montréal, je me considère montréalaise, québécoise même, et ici à Radio Kapwa, on veut diffuser l'information à tous et à toutes qui veulent apprendre de nos expériences. Si vous avez aimé la musique de cet épisode ou de d'autres épisodes de Radio Kapwa, vous pouvez trouver tous les titres de chaque chanson jouée sur CKUT/PLAYLISTS/RK. On est arrivé vers la fin de cet épisode. Écoutons finalement les annonces de la communauté pour cette semaine. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's community announcements. On January 12th, P10 is hosting a woodworking workshop facilitated by Centre Kapwa member Deanne Louise C. Nardo. They, she, sha. They are a poet, interwoven artist, and cultural worker. A voracious craft pursuer and maker, they work with wood, paper, food, and whatever else you can throw at them. Their practice thrives on the thin line where questions live, where memory, healing, and community are embodied and empowered through interdisciplinary and participatory art forms. To sign up, please visit their Instagram page and send a DM at queerartsp10. On the same day, January 12th, Kaartehan is holding their monthly Philippinex O Artist Tambayan with Ka Collective at Shift Space Concordia. This is at Concordia University Library Building, 1455 de Maisonneuve Boulevard West at LB145, from 6 p.m. So whether you call yourself an artist or are flirting with the title, come hang out with other Philippinex AO creatives. Shoot the shit, talk process, or just have some merienda while you meet other people. Kita kits! For more information, please visit their Instagram pages at Fried Chicken Vixen and at Centre Kapwa. Next up, Raffle for Palestine. Show up for Palestine and however way you can. Proceeds are going to support at Gaza Direct Aid and at Rita_Ihab to secure food, water, clothing, diapers, formula, and other essential needs that are increasingly hard to find during the continuous siege on Gaza. These wonderful healers have contributed their divine services for you and for Palestine. 6 different prizes for 6 winners. 1. A 45-minute head and shoulder massage by Ugnayan.dr, spelt as UGNAYAN.dr. 2. Astrology reading by at lilsunflower.mp3, spelled as lilsunflower.mp3. 60-minute meditation and oracle reading by at Selmki, spelled as S-E-L-M-K-I. 4. 60-minute session of choice, commune, massage therapy or bodywork, Reiki, aromas, and sound healing by at I Am Scared Rose, spelled as I-A-M-S-A-C-R-E-D-R-O-S-E. 5. Session of choice, sound healing, Reiki, and Thai massage by at Emma_Rose, spelt as EMMA_RROSE. 6. 60-minute Reiki session and oracle reading by Sun Healing Goddess, spelt as SUN HEALING GODDEX. And for our last announcement, McGill University PhD student candidate John Wayne De La Cruz is still looking for participants in his research study exploring how multilingual Filipino immigrants in Montreal use their languages to construct their linguistic identities in various settings. You will receive a $120 e-gift card for your participations. For more information, send him an email at john.delacruz, spelled as john.delacruz, at mail.mcgill.ca, or his Instagram page at Lady Gaga's Godson, spelled as LadyGagasGodson. And that was all for this week's community announcements and for the episode itself. So thanks for tuning in to Radio Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Laura and we'll catch you next week. Mabuhay!
Liberation for one is liberation for us all. Tuloy ang laban.
Le 25 janvier, à 20h, la Cinémathèque québécoise présente Gashrat. Gashrat, c'est Kelly, Tara, Chelsea et Gabby. Gashrat remet les pendules à l'heure. Gashrat se souvient d'un Montréal disparu. Gashrat est la convergence d'esprits qui se méritent. Gashrat est un groupe de rock.
Gala de l'amour avec Pierre-Michel Ménard, Mireille Filouska, Georgette Isidore. Le maître de cérémonie Yvon Chéri vous transportera au paradis de la passion dans un récital de poésie d'amour. Défilé de robes de mariée, show de danse, Didier Dadimix. Black Power de Montréal vous fera danser au rythme du bon compas. Le Gala de l'amour aura lieu le samedi 10 février 2024 au complexe La Providence, 6566 Jarry Est. Les portes seront ouverte à 17h pour le cocktail. Le gala débutera à 19h. Repas, 5 services. Participation, $130. VIP en limousine, $200. Commanditaire officiel, Alix Toyota. Patronné par Magnus Poirier.
Liga Soccer Hochem.
Maître Suzy Jean Notaire. Cabinet d'immigration Hercule. Le Nerf Saint-Louis et Paul Toussaint. Et Vision Max Service. Pour information et billets, 514-250-2272.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We have been running a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters for the last couple years, and the phone number has recently changed. You can now reach us at 438-858-6116. We would like to thank Fed Phone Line for providing us with this number for free. They wanted us to tell you that they help save money to inmates, family, and friends by reducing the cost of collect calls. For more information about their company, you can go to fedphoneline.com. So again, our new number is 438-858-6116. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison at that number. As always, we're an all-volunteer collective and don't always manage to answer the phone. If you can leave a message, please do. If you're calling Collect and we don't pick up, try again next time you can get to the phone. And again, our phone number is 438-858-6116, and you can call us Collect from Riviere de Prairie Prison or Bordeaux Prison.
Caribbean Food Factory is available for all your special occasions. Come get a taste of authentic Jamaican cuisine prepared by none other than Montreal's top chef, Lloydy. You can also come sample our homemade natural juices. You can pick up, you can dine in, or you can also have it delivered directly to your home by Skip the Dishes or Uber Eats. We also offer catering and hall rentals for all your special occasions. Caribbean Food Factory, 5311 de Maisonneuve West on the corner of the Carrick. You can link us 514-481-2444 by email at foodfactorycaribbean@gmail.com.
On January 25th at 8 p.m., the Cinémathèque Québécoise presents Gash Rat. Gash Rat is Kelly, Tara, Chelsea, and Gabby. Gash Rat sets the record straight. Gash Rat remembers a lost Montreal. Gash Rat is a convergence of spirits deserving each other. Gash Rat is a rock band. Gash Rat is back for one concert, for one night only. Get your tickets now at cinematheque.qc.ca. Co-presented by the Cinémathèque Québécoise and CKUT.
News sucks, we know. So why not join us for a cool show? Exploring the state of Canada's Christmas media landscape this Saturday, January 13th. It's at the St. Jack's Center in downtown Montreal. It's the inaugural edition of the Harbinger Showcase live podcast recording series. Come and hang out with Rob Russo, Harris Marks, and Nashua Connett's media criticism panel convo with special guests from Palestinian Youth Movement, Reach Media, Sierra Club Canada, and more, plus an after party connecting left journalists and activist communities. It's like Canada Land, but anti-Zionist. Hopefully see you there.
This is hip-hop. Marvel and myself, you know, were part of this clique that was called Figures of Speech, which just has now become the Circle. It's grown with Shaw Claire and Julie Black and Solitaire and Road Dollar and Wyatt Look and